Our Sunday school lesson today is found in the book of Ezekiel. We'll be looking at chapters 38 and 39. I encourage you to open your Bibles and read along with me. We're coming to an end in this quarter in our study of the book of Ezekiel. The title of the lesson today, The Invasion from the North. The Invasion from the North. Our memory verse is such an encouragement. Our adversary, the devil, and his crowd, they seem to be running the show. They're trying to make it a hate crime to preach against sin. They're persecuting Christians all over the world, especially even in this day of the virus. Some of the governors won't even allow Christians to abide by the amendment, the constitutional amendment, to assemble and worship in the house of God. If I didn't know what God said about the last days, I would be wondering if we're even on the winning side. Because it sure looks like we're losing. The enemy attacks are they're coming at every angle. Even men that have stood on the fundamental doctrines of what thus saith the Lord are now against us and even accuse us of being legalists because we still obey the Bible instead of trying to keep up with the modernism and the crowd pleasers. But thank God for our memory verse. It's found in Romans chapter 8, verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? Good question, isn't it? He asked another question. If God be for us, who can be against us? Well, I made a decision a long time ago to just go with God. I found out that when God is on my side, he's bigger than he that is in the world. Hey, I've read the back of the book. Cheer up, my friend. We win. If you're a born-again believer, saved by the grace of God, you're on the winning side. I like being on the winning side. I played a lot of sports in my younger days. And I can tell you, I had much rather to win than to lose. God gives us the power to live victorious lives. He's stronger than any enemy that we'll face. This winning side is more than just a game. Not only here on this earth, but it's for an eternity. Just remember, whatever comes our way, if God be for us, who can be against us? We can apply this as individuals. But how about as a nation? How important is Israel in today's world? We've talked a lot about Israel in the book of Ezekiel, and now today's lesson is a lot about prophecy. So we'll be zooming in on Israel even more, but how important is Israel in today's world? Just remember, if you look at the world on a map, Israel is just a small country. It's just a speck or a spot on the map. Yet, anything and everything that goes on in this world, Israel is right in the middle of it. That's why we're in Afghanistan today. We're in Iraq today. That's why they attacked the World Trade Centers on 9/11. It's because they hate Israel. And since we support Israel, and we're their largest ally, therefore they also hate us. Again, I've repeated many times, this world's philosophy is that the United States keeps Israel from being overthrown. But I've got news for them. If the United States didn't do it, God would protect them some other way. So who is helping whom? Is the United States helping Israel, or is Israel helping the United States? Well, during the Obama's presidency, the United States favored the Palestinians over Israel. I'm convinced that when we take our hand off of Israel, God takes his hand off of us. But I do thank God for our president today. President Trump favors and is a friend to Israel. One of his first moves in office, one of his biggest accomplishments right out of the gate, was he moved the United States Embassy in Israel to Jerusalem. And I would dare say that we need Israel more than they need us. Well, our lesson today is about the armies from the north invading Israel. Now, this is prophecy. Well, just last week, I watched a documentary on China. Of course, China's been in the news a lot with the virus and world trade and communism. Of course, we also know that Russia has a very powerful nuclear military as well. So the Russians and the Chinese are building a massive army. And these armies will be used by God against Israel in the last days. All the enemies of God will make a last-ditch effort to wipe Israel off the map. The book of the Revelation tells us that all nations will come against Israel. This is the future. It has not come to pass yet. Again, this is Bible prophecy. So in Bible prophecy, where will the U.S. be? The good old United States of America. How come would the United States, the most powerful nation on the face of the earth, yet is not even mentioned directly in Bible prophecy in the last days? Well, I've heard different viewpoints. One viewpoint is that we're going to self-destruct and we'll no longer be a superpower nation. I like this next viewpoint, but I'm not too optimistic that it's correct. Because this viewpoint says, well, the majority of Americans is going to go up into rapture. And therefore, when the Great Tribulation comes, America is not going to be what we know now as a country. Because the Christians are out of here. Well, I do praise God that I'm out of here. But the way this America system is going today, I'm not sure that the rapture is going to make that big a difference when it comes to being a world power. I believe we'll be in a group that refers to all nations attacking Israel. Now, I'm sure there's other scenarios. I'm thankful that when this happens, I'll be raptured out of here. Praise God. But God has promised to restore Israel to her homeland in perfect peace and safety. And one day, very soon, God is going to keep his promise. And then the temple will again house the glorious presence of the Lord. But before the final battle, Israel will go through the tribulation period, including a northern invasion and a final dispersion. We saw last week how Israel was going to be scattered. They're going to be dispersed. Well, our lesson today continues to Bible prophecy, and it goes along with other prophetic books, including Daniel, Isaiah, the Revelation, and of course many others. Again, this has not yet come to pass. But when we're raptured out of here, hell is literally going to break out here on earth. So now let's get into our text, chapter 38, verses 1 through 6. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog. Again, and the word of the Lord were come unto me, we know that me there is Ezekiel. God is speaking to Ezekiel. And he's saying, cause, of course, the Son of Man. So in verse 2, he says, Son of man, set thy face against Gog. The land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and prophesy against him, and say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee. I don't ever want to hear those words against me. I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and I'll turn thee back and put hooks into thy jaws, and I'll bring thee forth and all thine army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. And then he lists several countries, Persia, Ethiopia, Libya, with them, all of them with shield and helmet. Gomer and all his bands, and the house of Togarmah, and the north quarters, and all of his bands, and many people with thee. So we find in these verses that the invader is Gog. And Gog is from the land of Magog. So just a little history. The historians believe that the descendants of Magog were the Scythians. If you remember the Scythians in the scripture, they were some of the most wicked people. Sacrificed their own children to their gods. Well, they settled the land that's now occupied in today by South Russia. So this is the area today that we find Russia. Also, the chief prince is the prince of Rosh. And that's where scholars believe that Russia took its name. So let's put this in context here. So Gog is the commander-in-chief of the European nations, headed up by Russia. And then let's look at these other places mentioned in this scripture. It's believed that Meshach is the European Russia, with the capital there in Moscow. I'm sure you're very familiar with Moscow. Now, Tubal is the Asiatic Russia at Tobolsk. And then you've heard of the Black Sea, where Gomer is down near the Black Sea. Togarmah is believed to be Armenia. Persia represents the Arab nations. Iraq, Iran, and even other former Soviet republics. And then, of course, we know that Ethiopia is down in northern Africa. And it's also known as the Kush. Libya as well is in northern Africa, known as Put. Now, we don't know the time of this invasion, but it's believed to be around the middle of the 7-year tribulation. So what do we call this middle of the 7-year tribulation? That last 3.5 years is known as the Great Tribulation. Now, if you remember in Bible prophecy, during the first half of the tribulation, millions of Israelites will be living in this land, and they will agree to a military treaty in an alliance with the 10 states of Europe. We're talking about a one world government. We're talking about world peace, the one world currency. All of this comes into play during the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. Just a few years ago, the nation of Hungary, they joined in the European nations to make up the 10th state of the European nation. Now, you can read a lot more about these treaties in the book of Isaiah, Daniel, Amos, 1 Thessalonians, and of course, we see a lot of Bible prophecy in the Revelation. We won't take time to go there. Excuse me. Let's look in our text in verse 16. And thou shalt come up against my people of Israel as a cloud to cover the land. It shall be in the latter days. And I'll bring thee against my land, that the heathen may know me, when I shall be sanctified in thee, O Gog, before their eyes. So why will God allow this invasion to even take place? Because they, the heathen nations, may know that he is God. You see, Israel is going to enter into an alliance with Rome. Yes, even the Catholic Church. And they're going to go along with the erection of an idol as they rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. And God is not going to allow the king of the north to wipe out Israel. He would keep his promise to save Israel even against the most formidable army in history. God preserves his people. Well, I say hallelujah to that. I've been adopted and now I'm in the family. I'm one of God's children. But in the meantime, God is going to use the king to punish Israel. If you remember all through the Old Testament, well, even into the New Testament, Israel has turned its back on God, and God turned his back on Israel. He not leave them or forsake them, but Israel is having to go through the consequences for rejecting his son and turning to idols. Verse 39:7, so I'll make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel, and I will not let them pollute my holy name anymore. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. The heathen shall know. You see, the heathen has looked at Israel and, well, my goodness, what kind of God do you have? You're taken captive, you're our slaves, you must have a mighty weak God, I'm sure is what the heathen were telling them. But God tells us in these verses that he's going to make his holy name, that the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, the Holy One in Israel. God is going to do this to get his glory. And he's going to exonerate his holy name. Chapter 38, verse 17, thus saith the Lord God, art thou he of whom I have spoken in old time by my servants, the prophets of Israel, which prophesied in those days many years that I would bring thee against them? God's preachers and his prophets warned them, and yet they would not obey. But now, before we start criticizing Israel too much, isn't the same thing happening today? The preachers, the teachers, the Word of God, the Holy Spirit is warning us that God is jealous and will not tolerate disobedience. Verse 19, for in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath have I spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great shaking in the land of Israel. In my jealousy. Exodus 34:14, for thou shalt worship no other god, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. Do you realize one of the names of God is jealous? And he does not like it when Israel or us today go out and worship other idols. Instead of him. And then in verse 23, this will I magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am the Lord. I will magnify and sanctify myself. Can I just ask you the question this morning? Who are you magnifying? Who are you sanctifying or setting apart? Well, we sure know that in today's society, it's all about I, me, and myself. We set apart and sanctify self. It's all about us. Take care of number one. Look after number one. Who's number one? We are self. But God is saying in those days, when it's all said and done, he will be magnified. They shall know that I am the Lord. Chapter 39, verse 11. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will give unto Gog a place there in the graves of Israel, the valley of passengers on the east of the sea, and it shall stop the noses of the passengers, and there shall they bury Gog and all his multitude, and they shall call it the Valley of Hamagog. So after the war, the valley east of the Dead Sea is going to become a massive graveyard. And in that graveyard is going to be Gog and all of his multitude. And of course, this is going to be known as the Valley of Hamagog. So after the armies from the north are destroyed, The kings of the East and the West, or the Roman Empire, they're all going to meet in the Valley of Megiddo. Now, in the Valley of Megiddo is going to occur the Battle of Armageddon. Christ is going to personally come back to earth and annihilate the armies. Verse 12, in 7 months shall the house of Israel be burying of them, that they may cleanse the land. This battle is so massive, it's going to take 7 months for Israel to bury all the nations of the enemy. Verse 17 through 20, and thou, son of man, thus saith the Lord God, speak unto every feathered fowl and to every beast in the field, assemble yourselves and come and gather yourselves on every side to my sacrifice, that I do sacrifice for you, even a great sacrifice upon the mountains of Israel, that ye may eat flesh and drink blood. Ye shall eat the flesh of the mighty and drink the blood of the princes of the earth, and of the rams and the lambs and the goats and the bullocks, and all of them fatlings of Bashan. And ye shall eat fat till ye be full, and drink blood till ye be drunken of my sacrifice which I've sacrificed for you. Thus ye shall be filled in my table with horses and chariots, with mighty men, with all the men of war, saith the Lord God. Over in the book of the Revelation, chapter 19, 17 and 18, it also talks about this. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying, to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, the flesh of the mighty men, the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. Verse 19, and I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. Verse 20, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, in which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast. Does that sound familiar? 666. And them that worshiped his image, these both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and the fowls were filled with their flesh. Well, we know that this is Jesus Christ that's sitting on the horse coming back. And praise God, all that we are saved and born again, we're going to come back with him on white horses. We're going to be present to this battle. If you remember in the Battle of Armageddon, the blood flowed up to the horse's bridle. Jesus was not coming back this time as a lowly servant, born in a manger, growing up poor without even a place to lay his head, using his power and his miracles only to bring people to himself. No, my friend, the little baby in the manger is not what it's talking about here in these last days. When he comes back in the last days, he's coming back as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And no one will be able to stand against him. And all that we are saved are going to come with him. Back at the beginning of our lesson, can I just remind you again, we're on the winning side. He tells us in these scriptures here in Ezekiel and in the Revelation that he calls for the fowl or the birds to come in and start drinking the blood and eating the carcasses. They're going to have a feast. There are going to be dead people everywhere from the nations that came against Israel. As I say it, God may have turned his back when Israel turned their back on him. The Bible even goes on to say that he divorced Israel. But yet God keeps his promises. He promised Abraham, David, he promised that the Davidic kingdom would rule forever. And now Jesus Christ is going to sit on that throne in Jerusalem in the rebuilt temple. And the remnant were slain with the sword, verse 21 again. Of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth. And the fowls or the birds were filled with their flesh. And I will set my glory, Ezekiel 39:21, I will set my glory among the heathen, and all the heathen shall see my judgment that I have executed, and my hand that I have laid upon thee. God's judgment will be executed. The heathen shall see God as he is. They'll no longer be using his name in vain. They'll no longer mock and curse even other Christians. They'll no longer come against Israel. No, my friend. They're going to bow the knee and they're going to call him Lord. But unfortunately, at this point, it'll be too late. They'll be cast into the lake of fire. Let me just remind you that every knee is going to bow. You have a choice. You can bow on this side of heaven. Ask Christ to come into your heart. Get born again. Get saved. Or you can continue to mock at him. You can continue to just do what me, myself, and I wants to do and do that which is right in your own eyes. Just go on living the life with no care in the world. But there's coming a day that if you don't bow on this side of heaven, if you don't bow on this side of the rapture, if you don't bow on this side of the tribulation, you will bow at the great white throne judgment. You will call him Lord. And you in hell will be cast into the lake of fire for eternity. It's an easy choice to make. Salvation is so simple that even a child can understand. But let me remind you, is salvation was never free. Christ gave his life, his blood, so that we can be saved. It's a free gift. And yet our part is to believe it and accept it. You sure don't want to be around during this time of the great tribulation. Verses 23 and 24. And the heathen shall know. You see, the heathen thought, well, our gods has got to be greater than Israel's gods. Verse 23, and the heathen shall know that the house of Israel went into captivity for their iniquity. They didn't go into captivity because their gods was greater than Israel's God. No. They didn't go into captivity because the nation was stronger. No. Israel went into captivity for their iniquity. They had to pay the consequences. They had to suffer for their sin, for their iniquity, the Bible says. And it goes on to say, because they trespassed against me, that's Israel trespassing against God. Listen to this. Therefore hid I my face from them. They could not even get to God. Could not even. God turned his face. And gave them into the hand of their enemies. So fell they all by the sword. According to their uncleanness, and according to their transgressions, have I done unto them. And here it is again. And hid my face from them. The heathen will know that it was not them that took Israel into captivity. They were just pawns being used by God, because it was God that was directing their paths, and it was God's divine plan to judge Israel. The enemy nations were just instruments in God's hand. Judgment came from him, not them. God gives the reason why he let Israel become captive. In the end of the great tribulation, not one enemy will remain. The scattered descendants of Israel will return to the nation of Israel, or the land of Israel, forever. Back to the verse we quoted, if God be for us, who can be against us? But let me ask you a question this morning. What if God hides his face from you? What will it take for you to turn from your idols? Well, I know what you may say. Oh, Brother Tommy, I got you on that one. I've never went out and carved me a little wood idol or a little plastic idol or got one of these potbelly Buddhas that's sitting on the shelves. I don't have idols, Brother Tommy. Well, let me ask you this. What are you putting in front of the Lord? What are you giving first place in your life? Whatever you're giving first place, whatever you're worshiping in your life, whatever is the most important to you, if it's not God, then that's your idol. And God is jealous. If we don't give Him first place, I can tell you from the Word of God that one of His names is jealous. And He is a jealous God. And if we're like Israel, we do that which is right in our own eyes. We set up our own idols, whether it be money or cars or riches or homes and boats or whatever. Israel had to pay the consequences. So will we. God will chastise us. If we're one of His children, He will not let us away with it. Because He's a loving Father. He's a good God. And if we sin to the point that He hides His face from us, the Bible even says that if we have iniquity in our heart, He won't even hear our prayers. But He also says He'll never leave us or forsake us. He's there. He hasn't moved. If you're not closer to God than you once were, guess who moved? This would be a good day to come back to Him. A good day to seek you first, the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then He promises in that verse of Matthew 6:33 that all these things will be added unto you. Do you want something from God this morning? Seek Him first. Put Him first. Do it out of a loving, humble heart. Get to where we need to be with Him. And then He said, all of these things will be added to us. Our lesson today was about the future Bible prophecy of these nations invading Israel in the last days in the great tribulation. But those of us who are saved, born again, children of God, will be raptured out of here before this day occurs. And we will be coming back with Him on the white horses there at the Battle of Armageddon. So which side are you on? Back to the sports analogy. Do you like being on the winning side or the losing side? Put Christ first in your life today, my friend. Let me just ask, I'm going to end with this. When are you going to get serious about serving the Lord? When are you going to get serious about putting Him first in your life? Can I just say, why not today? Prove Him. Try Him. See that it'll make a difference. And this concludes our lesson. Thank you and God bless you.